It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. PGA, LPGA, industry trends. Golf DMV has it covered. This is Golf DMV. And now, here's Claude Jennings.
All right, welcome back to Golf DMV. I'm Claude Jennings. It is the Golf Podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Coming up later in the show, of course, we're going to talk Masters. Masters, Masters, Masters. Nothing else to talk about the week after the Masters, except for the Masters. Congratulations to Sergio Garcia. We'll get into that. Also, Steve Peterson from Renditions is going to come on in studio with me, my friend, my colleague, producer of the Washington Wizards radio broadcast, Brian Albin, avid golfer. Brian, how are you?
I'm hacking away.
So look, again, this is what happens on Golf DMV. People that I know from this area play with, things like that, will come on the podcast. Brian, for those who don't know you, introduce yourself a little bit, where you like to play, and have you been out at all this year?
Yeah, so I mean, I live in the Northern Virginia area, so that's mostly where I play, but I try and play just about anywhere where there's a good online rate. That's typically the way to go for me.
By the way, Brian and I tortured each other playing with one another at Little Bennett. We played around together.
We did. We went to Little Bennett in the fall last year. We set a course record for most shots by a twosome. Right. Most putts attempted. It wasn't our best day, but it was, hey, that's what, it's just about having fun.
Right.
Yeah, and as far as this golf season so far for me, I got out actually pretty early in February and March. Took a couple lessons down at Bull Run in Haymarket, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Mostly just, we didn't even have time to get to the driver yet, really, because the iron play was just so messed up. Mm-hmm. The guy there showed me a lot of good stuff. Tim Ganzi over at Bull Run showed me some good tips. Got my hands forward again. Mm-hmm. Played Old Hickory, played Laurel Hill in the past couple weeks. Shot in the 80s at Laurel Hill, shot lower 90s at Old Hickory. So I'm thinking, you know, this coaching thing, there might be something to it.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. And I wanted to ask you about that because we had a couple buddies, on last weekend. And, you know, to a person, it was all about, look, I've got to practice more. And that's one of my goals this year, is that I want to practice more than I play. Like, I'll say, okay, hey, let's play tomorrow. You know, no, I don't want to. Honestly, look, golf is fun. You know, I'm not trying to get on tour. We know that.
Of course.
And so, but when I'm out there, I want to be good, right? And it means you have to practice a lot more than you play. And I find myself playing way more than I practice. And even when I am practicing, a lot of times it just turns into just, you know, hitting a couple 9-irons and then smashing the driver away. Is that something you want to do this year? Do you want to practice more? And how often have you had lessons? And how beneficial have they been for you?
So I've done 3 lessons down at the course, and I'm going to the range more since I've been taking the lessons, because I think I've always hated the range.
Right.
Because what'll happen to me is I'll step up on the range and maybe I'll come out, make, you know, a few good swings.
Yeah.
But as soon as I make the 1 or 2 bad swings, I'll sort of lose focus,
right,
not really know how to correct it, and make 20 bad swings
for the next 30 minutes,
and I'm just like, and now I just feel like I'm ruined, and I'm like, this was unproductive. I got worse by coming. You know what I mean? It's like I just need to go away, and I'll just play whenever I play, and it'll be like a reset. I feel like the benefit to lessons is first, I've had lessons when I was younger. But it's always been a random thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing I've always figured out is you need to find someone who you communicate well with.
Right.
Therefore, he's going to be able to say things that actually makes sense.
Right.
To
that
you.
Triggers, like, okay, I understand what you're saying, because sometimes people can explain something in a way and it just does not make sense. But then you need someone, like you said, who can speak in ways that you identify with, the way when they say, okay, no, you're opening your hips too much. And your hands are in the clubs behind you at your downswing, that may not make sense to you. But if someone says, hey, you need to speed up coming down, then it's like, okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like he's done a good job with me of giving me really 2-3 drills that I need to focus on doing. And if things are going wrong, just get back to doing those drills a couple times, and it's going to fix me.
Right.
So that's the encouraging thing so far.
Right, wonderful. We're going to talk a little bit about the Masters, again, with our good friend from Rendition, Steve Peterson. We're going to give him a call. Did you get a chance to check out the Masters? What did you think about the tournament this year?
So I essentially watched the first 63 holes, and then, of course, like an idiot, had obligations for the back nine for the leaders on Sunday. So I had to go back and watch the highlights, mm-hmm. and I'm sort of in this place. I don't know if I wanted Sergio to win. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked the narrative of Sergio being the guy who might never get it done.
A lot of people feel that way, too.
He's a tough guy to root for. Right. He's been a tough guy to root for due to just his personality mm-hmm. often. Mm-hmm. But when I sort of rewatched the final round today, I was mad I missed it because it must have had a bit of everything. And mm-hmm. part of the joy of watching a final round is the two-minute walks in between right. shots and sort of hearing the thought process. You don't get that when you see the highlights. But what I took away from this is Sergio still Sergio'd it.
Right.
Like, Sergio
right.
blew it on the Amen Corner and really gave he gave Justin Rose the chance to just blow it wide open.
Yeah.
But I think Justin Rose misses the 5-foot putt for birdie on 11. Mm-hmm. He misses the... Sergio makes his par save, but then Justin Rose misses the 6-foot putt right. for birdie on 13. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be just the turning point where all of a sudden Sergio said, he's giving me a chance. I should have been done by now. I'm only two shots back. Right. Let's put it into gear. He goes 3-under on the next two holes, hits one of the best shots I've ever seen in a mm-hmm. pressure situation on 15.
Yes.
And then he Sergios it again on 18.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, with the chance to win...
It was Carnoustie then, all over again.
Sergio did the Sergio thing and missed it. And when they were going to the playoff, I said, that's it.
Justin
that's
Rose is going to win this. Yeah.
Right, and Justin Rose also had a great break. I believe that was on 18, where he hits his second shot and it bounces
off the kick off the mound. Yeah,
and I mean, I was like, whoa, Sergio.
But then he missed the putt.
But then he misses the putt, right. And so he wasn't able to put Sergio away. And then Sergio, again, did the Sergio thing. He missed that putt. They go to the playoff. I'm thinking, this is it. And I actually wanted to see Sergio win it because, like, man, he's been at this for so long. And I think my feelings towards Sergio changed when he said, well, maybe I'm just not, a few years ago, he said, maybe I'm just not the type of golfer that's equipped to win a major. You know, I'm paraphrasing. And I said, man, you know, for him to say that and feel that way, you know, I want to see him win one. And I'm happy he won it.
Yeah, it's nice for him in terms of it'll validate his career to many people. To me, it was a career that never needed validation. We all knew how good he was. Mm-hmm. He just had some demons when it came to the majors. But I think like when I look back on this one, it's hard to say when a guy shoots 4-under for 19 holes in the mm-hmm. final round like Sergio did, that it wasn't just about him winning it. It was another guy losing it. But part of this one to me is going to be Justin Rose lost this with his putter on the back nine because his ball striking was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And he put himself in birdie after birdie chance. And he just missed, I think he missed 4 putts of 7-foot or less on the back nine.
Right, right.
And that's not something that he normally does.
No, not normally. And it was a great final round to me, you know, leading up to it, you know, Thursday and Friday, the weather being such a big factor. I think Friday, a lot of players grinded it out despite the weather conditions. Saturday was a really good day with setup. What I thought was going to be a great final two pairings where you had Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler in the penultimate grouping, and then you had Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, and all the storylines. I mean, of course, with Spieth, you know, and then you've got Fowler. So you've got all that, and I figured this is going to be amazing the way it lived. And it lived, to me, even though Spieth and Fowler fell off, it's the drama in that back nine, that second nine with Sergio and Rose lived up to the hype and then the playoff.
Whenever you have a final pairing duel, mm-hmm. that's going to be enough drama. But I'm with you. It could have been so much better if we had, because it could have turned into a Ryder Cup type feel.
Right.
If you had the American pairing in the penultimate dueling with this European pairing, the crowd could have maybe shifted in a way that could have thrown Sergio off potentially.
Yeah,
guys started to root against Sergio because they saw Ricky
and
there.
It's happened
with a
lot before, by the
first,
way.
Or Jordan with a chance to get his second, you mm-hmm. know? So, but yeah, I think Jordan's game, right? Jordan, the thing about Jordan Spieth was when he won the two back-to-back majors, his ball striking was just as automatic as his putter.
Right,
and
right.
his ball striking has just been sort of lacking for the past year and a half compared to what it was.
Right.
And Ricky, I think we are heading to a place where Ricky will be the new Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Ricky will win a major.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people think that that's a foregone conclusion. But, you know, I was, when my dad was texting me yesterday before the final round, who's going to win it? My pick was Rose. I said that, you know, Sergio, I don't trust his putter.
Right.
Spieth, I think, is too far back. And Ricky's not going to be able to make enough birdies. And I just, I don't think Ricky can make enough birdies to win. I just don't know what his elite skill is. You know, the skill that for him is going to just take over a round. And it seems like it's his putter. But it's hard for your putter to sustain you through 72 holes if your ball striking... His ball striking doesn't give him enough easy ones.
Right, right.
And you looked at the 5-under he was at coming into the final round. Well, he had to hole out from a bunker for an eagle. Right. He was making as many 12-foot par saves as anyone out there.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't give himself enough opportunities to win a tournament like the Masters, in my opinion, or a PGA Championship, considering how often you need to be, you know, 10, 12-under par to win a PGA. Maybe he can win a British or... a U.S. Open, but I'm just not sure he has major championship winning game, especially with some of the guys he's competing against right now.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, who knows what was striking? Because it wasn't until he that survey article came out where he was voted the most overrated player on tour, then he stepped up and won one.
It's true.
Maybe something comes out like that with majors, like he may be the new Sergio, the one who will be on tour for 20 years and never win one, and maybe that'll spark him winning one. This is the Golf DMV Podcast. I'm Claude Jennings. In studio with me is Brian Albin, Washington Wizards radio broadcast producer. Joining us now is Steve Peterson from Renditions Golf Course in Davidsonville, Maryland. Steve, thank you so much for joining the program.
Hey, Claude, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. So I imagine that you did catch the Masters. What are your thoughts on Sergio grabbing that first major?
As an American golfer, Sergio has always been tough to go up against in the Ryder Cup. So I haven't always been the biggest fan, but I'll tell you, that was really, he won me over. It was a great thing to see. I was very happy for him.
No, absolutely. Was there any point during the match when you're watching it, Brian and Alvin and I were just talking about it earlier, where, you know, it did seem as though there were moments that Justin Rose could have put it away, and Sergio definitely did what we probably expected Sergio to do, missing a few of those putts, especially the one on 18, I mean, to win it. Was there a moment in your mind where you're like, whoa, here's Sergio, he's going to do the same thing Sergio normally does?
Well, there was that moment on 13 where he hit it into the unplayable situation right there along the hazard, and you know, I think a lot of us thought, oh, here we go, he just lost his chance. But man, he came back with that eagle on 15. Really, he didn't miss a shot after that on 13.
No, that's such a great point. And then looking back at, when you look at Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, how, you know, we looked at that penultimate group thinking, man, this is going to be, you know, a great final day. They kind of fell off earlier in the final round. What did you think about Jordan Spieth falling off and Ricky Fowler kind of doing the same thing?
I was a little bit more surprised that Ricky didn't follow through better. I had high hopes for Jordan to play well, and you know, he's played so well at Augusta. He just can't do that for an entire career. So at some point, you're going to have a poor year. And I don't even think he had that bad of a year this year. I was proud of him the way he handled it. So, yeah, it was unfortunate to see both those guys not live up to expectations. But like I said, I really thought Ricky would have brought his better game, because I thought he had been playing really well all week, really very few stumbles along the way.
Yeah, Ricky's been playing good all week. He's been playing good for most of this season. And it's funny, yeah, you talk about, you know, you can't always win at Augusta. Jordan, for most of his career, he's finished second, first, and second. So, I mean, you're not going to finish one and two for the entirety of your career. So let's talk about Renditions. You're the general manager at Renditions in Davidsonville, Maryland, and you guys bring what you call the Grand Slam experience to the everyday player in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Talk a little bit about Renditions, and of course, you guys have the iconic Amen Corner, which we just saw at Augusta this weekend.
Yeah, Renditions is a really fun golf course. It's a unique experience. Like you said, it's what we call Grand Slam golf experience. So every one of our holes has been replicated after another hole which has hosted a major championship. For example, like you say, Amen Corner. We have holes from Oakmont, Cherry Hills, Medina, Wingfoot, just to name a few. But all 18 have hosted, are replicas of a course that has hosted a major championship. We also have British Open, some holes from the British Open rotation, Royal Birkdale, Carnoustie, Royal Lytham, and St. Anne's. So it's an opportunity to play some really famous, iconic holes. And, you know, of the most iconic would probably be Amen Corner, which we have consecutively, our 6th, 7th, and 8th hole, which replicate 11, 12, and 13 from Augusta National. And I got to say, I think when they were built, they did a very, very good job. Because if you go into an endeavor like trying to replicate Augusta National and you do it halfway, you know, you're going to come out looking kind of silly and foolish. And thankfully, when they built this golf course, they did a really, really good job replicating those holes. And you can see it and feel it, and they play the same way you see them played on TV, which is the most fun part of it all.
Hey, Steve. Brian Albin here. So when you are doing a replica whole course, I mean, obviously there are so many major championship holes that have been out there. What comes first in the process? Do you sort of choose the holes you want to try to replicate and put into the golf course? Or is it more you see the land that you have and compare to other holes and think, you know what, this one might actually be a good fit for what we have here?
Yeah, well, it's probably a combination of both. I personally wasn't involved in the design or the building of the golf course, which opened back in 2002. But yeah, like sometimes I'll talk to people who don't know a lot about golf, and I'll try to explain the concept, and they'll say, "Well, do you have anything from Pebble Beach?" And I just kind of chuckle. You know, I'm sorry, I don't have an ocean flanking my left side. You know, so yeah, you got to work within the constraints of the land you have and what would be suitable. And so what's really pretty cool with the way they laid it out here, like I said, we have the British Open style hole. So you kind of, you come around the bend to a flat area of the golf course where you get some pretty open land and some higher winds. There's not many trees. And so they bunkered them up and really you get the feeling like you're, across the pond. And then you'll turn the corner to, like, for example, Amen Corner, where we got a pretty good size slope and some undulation. That was able to be utilized to replicate those holes. So, yeah, you pick the iconic ones, but you also pick the ones that you can work with within the land that you have.
Oh, wow, absolutely. So when folks are coming there prior to their round, maybe for the first time or after their round, I've played three times last season, and when I was there, I mean, there were four holes I sought after. You know, the three for Amen Corner, and then your hole number 13, which is the replica of TPC Sawgrass number 17, the Island Green. What are the holes that everybody's talking about? What does everybody want to come and experience?
Well, those are certainly the four that everybody plays. And your astute listeners might be saying to themselves, well, he said they all host a major championship. That is correct, with the exception of our 13th hole, the Island Hole from TPC Sawgrass, which, as we all know, doesn't host a major. It hosts the fifth major. So that's our one little exception to the rule. But for a hole like that, I think it's well worth making an exception. So, yeah, those are the really iconic ones that you can't miss even when you just stand over them and look at them. You know what they are. A lot of the others are a little bit more obscure. For example, our first hole is from the Country Club at Brookline. Not a lot of people are going to know that just by looking at it, but if you do a little research, you learn that that's a hole where Francis Ouimet won the U.S. Open as an amateur. I think it was going back quite a ways. I don't have the year. 1913, maybe. But it's also famous for Justin Leonard knocking in that putt in the Ryder Cup, where the Americans went berserk and Europe got upset. And it's all, we all remember that moment. So that's a hole that has played a huge role in the history of golf. Fun to know, but not something you're going to recognize simply by looking down the fairway.
So for those who are listening now and maybe they've never been to Renditions, what's coming up? What's new at the course? What are you guys doing? And what's the pitch to get them to come?
Well, we're thankful to have a good start to this spring. We had that mild winter. The golf course is in great shape right now. Fairways are green. The greens are rolling great. So we're just excited to have the warm weather. We just had a great, great weekend with a lot of play, people coming out to celebrate the Masters. So we feel like we're ready to dive straight into full season. And it's going to be a busy year. We just hope to see a lot of people out.
Steve Peterson, GM over at Renditions in Davidsonville, Maryland. The website is renditionsgolf.com. Steve, thank you so much for joining us on Golf DMV.
Yeah, like I said, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So that's Steve Peterson, ladies and gentlemen. Renditions, look, like I said, I've been there. I went 3 times last season, and I had a great time, even though my scorecard may not. You may think after looking at all those numbers that I did not have a good time after all that adding. But no, I had a great time at Renditions. And again, the 4 holes that I look for, Amen Corner, those are I got to get there. And then replica of TPC Sawgrass, the Island Green, their hole number 13, but it's number 17 at TPC.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot to ask him during the interview, do you have EMTs on standby for the 13th hole? Because
right, no, it's so
yeah, it's
right.
Going to give me a heart attack. I can't just stand up on that 13th hole and be ready. I mean, it's you see so many. It's crazy how some of the smallest holes in the game are the ones that get the pros. You know, you
Absolutely.
Look at 12 at Augusta, part of Amen Corner, and you look at TPC Sawgrass. But no, it sounds like a great time over at Davidsonville and mm-hmm. at Renditions. I went once with my dad in, I want to say, 2012. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember it too well.
Right.
Haven't been back, not because I didn't like it, just because I live in Northern Virginia now. It's some closer courses to me.
Right.
But I'll have to make sure I get back there.
Yeah, we'll try to get out. So the weather's supposed to be really nice this week. Easter weekend's coming up. Maybe you can sneak outside while the family's having Easter dinner. Maybe the kids are doing an Easter egg hunt, and you can kind of go miss it. Maybe you can get some golf in. Brian, are you planning to get any golf in at all, practice or not, this week?
I am. I have a group of buddies. We're planning on going out, having a foursome either Saturday afternoon or Sunday. We don't know yet. It'll obviously depend for me based on Wizards playoff schedule since we
right.
have that coming up. But plans to get at least one round in this week. Probably going to try and get out, hit some balls sometime before then. And who knows where it'll be? Who knows where we'll play? But as long as the weather is
That's
good,
mm-hmm.
There are beer options on the course.
And then it's all good.
And, you know, like maybe make a few pars here. And
That's it. That's all you want to do. I'm going to get out. I'm going to try to get out to the driving range a couple times this week. I've got some buddies who want to play Tuesday afternoon. So we'll see if I can get. I've got a couple of meetings with clients Tuesday afternoon. We'll see if I can schedule. Try to move them a little early or move them to Thursday. And then also, I think a buddy wants to play Wednesday morning, but we may get a little bit of rain. But I'm not scared of any rain. I'll get out there and play.
As long as it's warm rain, yeah, that's
exactly.
all that matters.
So we'll see what happens. Whatever you do, guys, get out, play some golf, enjoy these great courses here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and we'll catch up next week on Golf DMV.
This is Golf DMV.